Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. We are getting some new information on the possible cause of the Palisades fire, and we have got continuing coverage of the air disaster in Washington. But first, the rush is on to start spending federal recovery money. Craig Figner reports.
Los Angeles City and County were being ravaged by fire during President Biden's final days in office. That's when he committed the federal government to covering 100% of the disaster assistance needed for SoCal to recover from the fires. The number, once it's calculated, it will be huge. There's this, though. It's for 6 months, so that starts January 7th. The funding commitment takes us through July, and that means for the city of Los Angeles, especially in the Pacific Palisades, where much infrastructure must be rebuilt from the ground up for LADWP, which is owned by the city. Well, that cost needs to be incurred in order to be covered.
The first 180 days, at least as Biden put it forward, is 100% federally reimbursable. Now, we don't get that money up front. There's an outlay issue. The more we can do right away, the better off we're going to be. Rebuilding the power lines, all of those kinds of things are going to require a lot of workers and engineers, architects, everything.
Councilmember Bob Blumenfield, he serves on LA's budget committee. In addition to this funding assistance, which will certainly help LADWP, it also will cover things like massive amounts of overtime incurred by the Los Angeles City Fire Department and also county firefighters. At LA City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Investigation into the cause of the Palisades fire still going on, but there are some early indications it was human caused. LA Times says there are two main theories. Investigators say they think a small fire that was put out in that same area on New Year's Day may have reignited somehow and spread because of intense winds. That New Year's fire reportedly started by somebody's fireworks. Either way, sources say the fire had human origins, and there are questions about whether firefighters accidentally left a hotspot burning from that first fire. But LA Fire Chief Kristen Crowley says they believe they had it completely out. However, she promises that if the investigation shows it was a reignition from a hotspot, she will say so. SoCal Edison is going to pass the cost of a 2017 wildfire on to customers. The California Public Utilities Commission has approved Edison's request to raise rates to cover more than $1.5 billion of its cost for the Thomas Fire, which is caused by its equipment. That request was approved by a 4-0 vote without discussion. Edison said it planned to minimize the impact by spreading the cost out over 30 years, and the company says most customers would see an increase of only about $1 a month. The PUC will then take up another request later for Edison to have customers foot the bill for nearly $5.5 billion in payments for the 2018 Woolsey fire, also caused by its equipment. L.A. City Council's approved funding that's going to help fix fire engines that have been in need of repairs for months. Pete Demetrio's got that story.
The motion by Councilman John Lee would authorize a shift of $4 million for overtime, not only for those crews who work the Palisades Fire, but also for mechanics who will work on repairing broken engines and new engines that need modification before they roll into the field. L.A. Fire Captain Eric Scott says when those engines are repaired, crews are ready to use them.
Firefighters want to get out there and help the public as best as we can, and we need the tools to do so.
And the tools meaning you have to have rigs repaired and rolling.
Correct.
The motion still needs a second and a hearing before a council committee, but odds are good the matter will be expedited and the funds transfer will happen in a matter of a few weeks. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is blatantly illegal, and it's hurting a lot of people in Orange County and beyond.
That is Congressman Dave Mint of Orange County talking about President Trump's federal funding freeze. Emily Valdez reports from Irvine.
Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley says the county is slated to lose $900 million in federal grant money that's already been approved because somewhere in the grant it mentions climate change, diversity, equity, or inclusion, which she says was a federal requirement in recent years.
These include funding for school breakfast for hungry children, and meal delivery programs for seniors. This is something that's been going on for decades in our county and in our country. Adoption services and family self-sufficiency services. Adoption and foster care services are on the chopping block because they have some connection to DEI as part of the grant. Child abuse prevention. Elder abuse prevention services at risk.
Foley says hundreds of millions will be slashed for road and rail projects, homeland security grants to the Sheriff's Department. Here's Congressman Dave Min.
Sitting down with the fire chief, and he was telling me that there are a number of programs they have that they believe may be subject to these anti-DEI, anti-environment provisions, because obviously a lot of the anti-wildfire funding came because of certain environmental programs.
Min believes the courts will stop the funding cuts, but he says a judge can't force the Trump administration to comply.
Local congressmen led top House Democratic leaders on a tour of the Eaton Fire devastation. Carrot Adams reports.
Heartbreaking is how House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries and House Whip Catherine Clark described the devastation left by the Eaton Fire here in Altadena.
We are going to stand with you shoulder to shoulder and take the spirit of community that you have shown us today to make sure that the aid that comes to you reflects the love and embrace that this community has shown to one another.
Congresswoman Judy Chu hosted the tour. She says Republican Congress members will be touring the area as well. She hopes they can reach an agreement in Congress on a disaster aid package with no conditions.
They know that we have not placed conditions on any of the aid. Many of them have had disasters in their area. So I am hoping they do the right thing and come with us in a coalition to say there should not be conditions on this aid now.
She says time is running out.
I understand that there is enough FEMA money to last us up until March, but we will need supplemental money, as has happened in every major disaster in this country.
The Democratic leaders say getting that aid package is their top priority when back in D.C. because they have a spending deadline of March 14th that's coming up. In Altadena, I'm Karen Adams, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Investigators getting closer to identifying the causes of the Palisades and the Eaton fires. That is coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Take Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. Back now to the Washington, D.C. air disaster. All 67 people on board a passenger plane and a military helicopter are presumed dead. So far, 40 bodies recovered from the Potomac River. And we are learning that an FAA report says staffing at the air traffic control tower was not normal when the crash happened. Joining us now is former United Airlines pilot and local aviation expert Ross Rusty Amer. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Rob.
So word is that two black boxes from the American Airlines jet have been recovered. Are those two boxes, are they redundant of each other, or do they do different things?
They do different things. There's two. One is the digital flight data recorder that records all the data pertaining to the components of the aircraft. position of the flaps, landing gear, what the engines are doing. Everything that happens to the physical airplane, it records on a digital data recorder. The other one is the voice recorder that records from several mics in the cockpit, the pilots, and the incoming conversation from the air traffic controller.
So the story about the controller who was on duty, was handling both helicopters and planes, a job usually done by two different people. We hear about this and we think, oh my goodness, that's probably going to have something to do with this crash. But my fear is, I bet this happens a lot more often than we realize. Is that the case?
You are absolutely correct, Rob. You know, we're depending on miracle every day. Performed by pilots and air traffic controllers. We are getting so used to this massive rush. Everybody wants to land and take off and go fly, and we don't want to be delayed. We moan and cry if we're 5 minutes late, we need to slow down. Our system is extremely overstretched. This traffic controller is doing a fantastic job. We normally trust each other between pilots and air traffic controller, that when they ask us, do you have such and such traffic in sight? And when the pilot says yes, you trust that he's looking at the right person or right traffic that was pointed out to him. Unfortunately, in this particular case, for some reason, the helicopter pilots did not see that traffic. They were probably looking at something else, thinking it was their traffic.
In the videos that have been shared on social media, there is another plane flying there. It's hard for me to tell if that plane's going toward them or away from them. Is it possible that the helicopter pilot thought it was that plane?
It is. That aircraft was taking off from the airport. And there's rumor, I don't know how true that is, that this training flight on the helicopter, they may have been wearing night goggles, which complicates things further by watching this traffic. So it was an incredibly tragic accident. We've had such a great run for so many years, but I think our luck just finally ran off. We were expecting something like that. I personally, after being in this business for 60 years, been saying we need to build airports. We need to build better runways. DCA, although it's in great demand, and as you may know, a lot of the politicians, they use that airport. They love it because of the convenience. But it was designed for DC-3s and 4 tri-motors. It has these crazy intersecting runways that are short. So it's the most challenging airport, the most restrictive airspace in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned.
Former United Airlines pilot, local aviation expert, Ross Rusty Amer, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
We're going to go in depth on how investigators work to determine the cause of these big wildfires on Nonstop News at 5. Well, the causes of the Palisades and Neaton fires have not been determined yet, but there are some ideas. Some attorneys say that SoCal Edison Power Line started the Eaton fire. An LA Times quoting sources saying that a leading theory for the Palisades fire is that there was a small fire started by fireworks on New Year's. It reignited after they thought they had it put out. KNX News Chief Correspondent Charles Feldman talked with Gianni Muschietto, Staff Chief of Law Enforcement for Cal Fire. He says there are a lot of witnesses to interview, a lot of potential video to go over, so it may take a while before anything official comes out.
If they've already, worked their way back to the origin and now have evidence to collect, they may still be in the process depending on that evidence. It may be something small. It could be something large that has to be collected and then preserved and then may later have to go to a laboratory for testing to determine, what may have, was it a viable ignition source or what may have occurred in the sequence of events.
On the Eden fire, as I'm sure you know, there has been much speculation and some media reportings about possible causes involving utilities and sparking and arcing and you name it, involving electrical equipment out there. What, if anything, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so in general, I don't have anything specific to that fire, but from things that I've seen and in other large fires, even on this, you look on social media, there's a lot of comments about other potential ignitions. And so the investigators will, depending on what they find on the ground within or around that origin, they'll have to vet out any of those possible causes. And again, that might be collecting items there that will be tested. There may be further information to gather after the fact. You know, in general, something like utility lines, things like that, you know, that could be gathering information from a utility company, reports, records, things like that after the fact. And that may come, right, days, weeks, or even months later through the process. You know, so things like that are what takes time. Depending on what potential evidence is there, it may have to be sent to a laboratory to have an expert, you know, examine those to help determine what exactly occurred. Obviously, there was video posted online, you know, publicly that shows many things happening. All of that has to be reviewed for validity, timing, when did that occur? You know, in today's world, things that are posted online, you don't know if it's... you have to verify if it's something somebody generated or doctored, or is it something, you know, that's accurate. And so you have to find the source who put that online and try and gather that original data to help with that verification. So a lot of those things that happen after they leave the scene and do a lot of follow-up are what takes days or months to put together and come to a comprehensive report. Especially if fires these complex with this amount of life lost and damage, you really want to ensure that everything that's collected is accurate, evaluated properly, and that when a cause and possible responsible party is identified, there may be criminal or other civil litigation that occurs down the road, that the investigators need to ensure everything's accurate and all the right facts are included in the report.
That's KNX News Chief Correspondent Charles Feldman with Gianni Muschietto from CAL FIRE. 5:21, quick check of the markets. The Dow closed up today 169, S&P up 32, and NASDAQ up 49. Now the Business of Entertainment report.
After announcing its biggest subscriber gain in history, can the competition live up to Netflix?
You've seen things like Disney Plus and Paramount Plus and Peacock. All of these big legacy media companies have ramped up streaming services. They've each lost billions of dollars. They're all now scaling back.
Rich Greenfield, partner and analyst at Lightshed Partners, says they're facing a lot of headwinds.
Their core cash generation comes from linear television. That business is in decline.
So how do they survive?
Maybe they're each more niche. You know, maybe Disney Plus is a way to watch Disney movies. They're integrating Hulu. They're integrating, you know, ESPN. But it's hard.
Greenfield adds that Paramount has a shot with a possible new CEO in Skydance's David Ellison.
If you're not trying to get to global scale and you don't think you can get to hundreds of millions of subscribers watching hours a day, you cannot win in this game. You are going to lose.
I'm Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo from the Barrister Office Suite's Money Desk on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And that's your nonstop news at 5 Thursday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.